Thank you, Sister Clark. My, that's the day when we'll be there, when we can see him crowned. Amen? Boy, that's powerful. You'd have to go on up to heaven to hear any better than that this morning. That just sits you in heavenly places, don't it? Thank you so much. Let's open our Bibles to the Old Testament. Second book of Exodus. Just going to read two verses to start us off this morning in Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, and we'll get in two verses here. I want to speak to you this morning. I guess I can give it a title like this for the tape room. We'll call it Mob Mentality. Mob Mentality. You hear somebody say something is mind over matter? Well, this would be matter over mind. Somebody said, "Way you treat old age is it's just mind over matter." Somebody else said, "Yeah, if you don't mind, it don't matter." And I understand that a little bit. More birthdays I have, amen. Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment." Here's some shall nots. What you have here in this portion of Scripture, the Lord is talking to his people. He's telling them how to live daily, rules to go by, things to do, things not to do, rules of life, so to speak. And the text here warns about some shall nots. And listen, when God says shalt not, I saw a road sign one time. Many of you have seen this, a big billboard up on the interstate. It said, "What part of shalt not don't you understand?" We should understand it. Amen. And God is saying there's some don'ts right here. And if you came today to just hear a good positive message, you probably won't. Much of the Bible is negative. Much of the Bible. You ever think about counting the Ten Commandments and see how many of them are negative? How many shalt nots you got in that group? Amen. And the text here warns about some things. Now, daily in the news today, we're seeing this. We're seeing a mob mentality. If you've had on the news in the last few weeks, it's almost all the time, some reason or another, there's a mob in the street. Yeah. There's something, some rioting, some looting going on. And this is the dumbest thing. Some of the very ones are destroying their own neighborhoods and hurting the very people, their neighbors, and the grocery stores they visit and all that. And that's a terrible thing, and it's wrong as it can be. And what makes it so wrong is so much of it is stirred up by false reports. Yeah. That's what's in the text right here. You look at it, "Thou shalt not raise a false report." I don't know about you, but I grew up somewhat, at least tried to once a week when I could get 9 pennies together. I'd visit the black and white Westerns. Every week they'd change. And by the way, you always knew who the good guy was. You knew what was right and wrong. And you always applauded for the winner unless he kissed the girl goodbye in the end. Then you went, boo. But the whole truth of the matter was, sometimes, oftentimes, in those what they call B-Westerns, in those things, a lot of times you would, and generally the bad stuff started off at the front, and then the good guys won in the end. But quite often in the beginning of it, oftentimes you'd have a mob rule. Or you'd have somebody hung, as it were, by mistake. He didn't really steal that horse. Come out later. Remember that? Well, when I was a kid in school, and I know it's right after Noah parked the ark, but long time ago, when I would go to those kind of movies, and we'd come back to the school, and we'd act out all week long what we saw on the cowboy movie. And in those days, you brought your own toys to school, and one of the toys we brought was plow lines. See, there was not many tractors in the area. and mules pulled a plow. I got to teach you science here, or you'll never understand what I'm saying. Those mules had plow lines come back, had a bit in their mouth, and you guided them. How many of you know the word you said? Raise your hand. Several smart people out here today. G and Ha, remember that? Pull and holler at that old mule. And I won't get off on that. Been hollering G and Ha at a bunch of folks for a long time. But anyway, we'd bring those plow lines to school. Now, you never had fun until you lassoed something. Only trouble was I was a smaller grades, and the big boys in the fifth and sixth grade, they chased us little guys and roped us. That's right. So we'd act it out, and I never forget this. Lunchtime would be longer than usual because the teachers had to go to the cafeteria, cook the food, clean up the cafeteria, and we played. We got out of school later, but it was all right. We had a long noon time. And I remember one of those noon times when there'd been a hanging in the cowboy movie. And so we were trying to act it out, and some of us guys had got roped, and my cousin, who was my same age, he'd gotten roped. And they had him up on a sawhorse where they had the seesaw, and they had him up on that. They roped him around the limb, and they had it around his neck. Now, the good thing is they didn't tie his hands. But the bell rung. Now, you never knew when the bell was going to ring. It was when the teacher stepped out and rang a handbell. That meant time to get back to class. Well, she stepped out and rang a handbell, and everybody run. But in running, somebody kicked the sawhorse out from under my cousin's feet. I was hiding behind a tree. He said, "Why were you hiding behind a tree?" Because I didn't want to be hanging from a tree. So I was hiding behind a tree. And when they took off to run to school, he was in a fix. They kicked the sawhorse out. He grabbed the rope, and he couldn't have got out of there. And I was able to come out. Boy, I'm so proud. I was able to come out and put the sawhorse back on him. Now, you know what? We didn't take that too serious. But what we were doing there, we were copying what we've seen the mob do at the movies. We had gotten into their mentality, and my friends, they didn't mean to kill nobody, but my cousin Jackie would have probably died if I had been hiding behind the tree. And I remember that very well, but this text right here reveals something of the mob mentality. I want you to look at the verses with me just a little bit. To begin with, considering the mob mentality, it's based on a false report. That's the way it's based. We're in the day-to-day of instant news. And they're in competition with each other to report it first. And therefore, they get a whole lot of it wrong, and it's always having to be corrected because the first report was filed was a false report, and the media is often wrong and sometimes on purpose. Yeah. Every now and then, they get caught where they've doctored a tape. they've left off part. They've made it say something that it really didn't say. That sort of thing. And we see that happening every now and then. Look at it in verse 1. And it says, with the wicked. In other words, the wicked uses the false report. They use the mob mentality. And they create what's called here in this verse an unrighteous witness. Now, you know what one of the Ten Commandments says? The 11th one of them. Not the 11th one. The 9th one. I'm sorry about that. Counting wrong. The 9th one says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Some of you wouldn't have known if I hadn't laughed at myself. Now, how many of you can tell me which one says, "I shall not bear false witness"? 3 hands. 9th one. All right. Got it. Anyway, bearing false witness is a serious thing with God. When it's on purpose, not a mistake, but when it's to calculate, to get somebody to act upon that is wrong. And we're seeing that in the election today like crazy. It's not the issues, it's who can tell the biggest lie. Boy, have we ever sunk in America to that place. When we talk about the elections being rigged, did you see this week? where the order went out from the State Department. Now, it got exposed, and the media every now and then does some expose some things. Thank God for it. And it got exposed that all the thousands of illegal aliens that's coming in, the order was to put it on the front burner to get them registered as quickly as possible to be able to vote. That is destroying our American system. Bringing in illegal aliens that don't know George Washington from Adam. And yet they're told what to vote for and fixed where they can vote. You got to have a picture ID to get on an airplane, but you can't have a picture ID required to vote. That's crazy, folks. We're talking about a mob mentality here based on false reports, and we're seeing all kind of illegal rules being brought in, and what you're doing is producing a crowd that wants to vote for free stuff. That's bribery, extortion, whatever you want to call it. In the days of Rome, Rome was somewhat of a democracy. But Sirio, the Roman senator, said, as he began to observe his country, he said, "Our democracy can only last until the people find out they can vote themselves more out of the general treasury." That describes America. We got more folks taken out than putting in. And it's just not going to last very much longer that way. No $20 trillion in debt and all the rest of it. But based on a false report, we see a mob mentality working today. And let me say this about a mob mentality. It blindly follows what they hear. A horse put in front of them. Blindly follow. That's what I call a herd mentality. Have you seen those documentaries on the animals? Have you seen the documentaries on the wildebeest? How they're just coming by thousands following each other and run right off into the river into the jaws of the crocodiles? You seen that? Anybody seen that? It's not on Ofer now. It's something else. Now, the truth of the matter is we've got some herd mentality running in America, and the whole herd's running right off the cliff. We're seeing our nation and all of its foundation going down the tubes because what's happening, that mob mentality is leading, and somebody starts running that way, going that way, talking that way, and everybody wants to jump in and follow to their own destruction, blindly following. In the old days, there was a terminology used called the Judas goat. Now, I'm sure things are a lot different now. I've actually been to a slaughterhouse where I saw this type of thing. It could be a goat, or it could even be a cow of some kind. But the men would have that goat train to lead the herd up to the slaughter chutes, up to the slaughter pens. And that goat would lead that herd in, and then the goat would be saved to go get another group, and the herd would be slaughtered. And that's why he got the name Judas. Judas goat. He betrayed the rest of the herd. He betrayed all the others. He led them to their destruction. And I look around today and I see the mob mentality. I see the Judas goats. Young people, listen to me. Those peers that want you to take the first smoke, the first drink, the first dope, they're Judas goats. They're misleading you. They're leading you the wrong way. And right at the last, they'll save themselves and you'll go on to destruction. Hear me good. That is a big deal today. I can't get this. I say this to young people all the time. Why do you think your friends are any smarter than you are? They haven't lived any longer. Why do you trust their word over mamas or dads or the preachers or the teachers? I mean, you're being led by Judas, but you all want to please your friends. I'll just smoke this joint with them. I'll just do this to please them, and then I'll quit. That's what the last sucker said before he got hooked. My soul, you see that. You see that all the time. And it's a mob mentality. And by the way, this thing of coming up in the election where we got to vote again on marijuana being unlicensed or licensed, so-called medical, that's a joke. These big law firms that's pushing that, somebody is going to make some big money off of it. And I'll tell you what, it's a dangerous thing. It's against the law to drive drunk. If that stuff passes, they're going to be driving just as drunk off of marijuana. It's not good, folks. And not only that, it opens the door to the heavier stuff. And all of that is nothing but a mob mentality. Follow the herd. Do what everybody else is doing it. Mama, everybody else is going. How come I can't but go? Mama, everybody else is wearing this kind of stuff. How come I can't wear it? That's mob mentality. I saw on TV one time, a long time ago, they was having some kind of demonstration in the street, and these college kids was out there, and they were holding up signs, and they were demonstrating on something. And one of the signs said, it tickled me good. One of the signs said, "Down with conformity." But she was conforming to the crowd, right out there with her sign, conforming to the mob. But down with conformity. That's exactly what I'm talking to you about this morning. Mob mentality has blind followers. It blindly follows. It goes after that. And we look around today and we see the polls. And you know what? A lot of folks will vote because they want to pick the winner over the polls. Now, the polls is herd mentality, too. It's mob mentality, if you please. Do you know why we get bad leaders today? Listen to me close. Don't miss it. You know why we get bad leadership today? Because good citizens don't vote. Do you get it? That's why. I saw a stat just recently where 30 million Christians didn't vote in the last election. 30 million claim to be saved, claim to know the Lord, claim to know what God's values are because they believe the Bible, but they didn't vote. Oh, we'll complain, and that's fine. So you're going to vote even if you don't like somebody? I'm going to vote for the best of the two or against the worst of the two? I sure am, if for no other reason, so I can get back up here and fuss about it. And I don't have any right to fuss if I don't vote. Neither do you. Amen? The sad part is, though, this mob mentality is just blindly follows whatever the trend is, whatever the polls say. Just amazing. Then this blind mentality, if you really check it out, it's the blame for some of the greatest tragedies that's ever happened. Just following the crowd. Many of you might not know the terminology, but some of the older folks should. The Boxer Rebellion. Boxer Rebellion goes back to early part of the 20th century. Goes back to a time that we had sent missionaries, the good churches had sent missionaries to China. The China Inland Mission was going great guns. Missionaries like Jonathan Goforth and others were over there doing a fabulous job, and Chinese were being saved. And by the way, Christianity in China still existing today goes back to those days of the great missionaries that did the work over there, and it was really making progress. And then on a particular Saturday night in America, sitting around in a restaurant, some news reporters got together. Used to be in this country, the big news was not, of course, on TV, not even on the radio line as much as it was the newspapers. And Sunday's newspaper was a big deal in those days. And these reporters from different papers got together, and they were talking about how there was no news, how they had no big splash to put on the Sunday morning paper. So they're talking about it, and these reporters, this is fact now, begin to hatch up some news on their own. And they all agreed that they would back each other by writing about this in the different big papers. New York Times and others. big papers. So they agreed among themselves, and they wrote that America was about to invade China and tear down the wall. Remember the Chinese wall? Well, they come out with the papers saying America secretly had a plan to go tear the wall down. And of course, when it hit American papers and one paper seemingly backing up the other, the news reached China. And they believed it. But it was all false. It was all hatched up. It was all cooked up. It was all among some reporters that had no news and wanted to create some articles on their own. And the Chinese revolted and went berserk over it. And many missionaries lost their lives. And the great work of getting the gospel to China was crippled something terrible. Many missionaries had to come home. And it was a terrible thing. It was a terrible time of bloodletting. It was all because of a false report. All because of a false report. You know, this text is talking about that. Multitude got stirred up. Now, during the Cold War, you know what I'm talking about when I say the Cold War. We're talking about the times Russia and America, we had mutual destruction as our protection. You fire and blow us, and we'll blow you, and we'll just blow each other off the map. And that's what the Cold War. Remember the days of the Cold War? Remember that? Well, what a lot of folks didn't know is that more than one time we got closer to pulling the trigger than a lot of folks think. For instance, when Ronald Reagan had gotten elected, the Cold War was on, and he started talking about protecting America with what commonly was called Star Wars. And the Soviet spies, and there's plenty of them inside of us, and we got ours over there, but the Soviet spies began to believe that America was getting ready to hit the first strike. And much of this has not been reported. It's open now news. But those spies who were the intelligence group reporting back to the leadership of Russia, Gorbachev was the prime minister of Russia, and the reports came back that America is preparing for a first strike. These spies published a false report among their peers, among the military of Russia. And many of you older folks will remember Ronald Reagan's time when he went to Helsinki, Sweden. Some of you have been there, coldest place I've ever been, I think. And they went for a summit meeting. And Reagan had picked up on this thing that the Russians really think we want to wipe them out. And so he was supposed to go to this summit meeting where they sat around the table and all the reporters and all the cameras and all the dignitaries and ambassadors and all that was supposed to be there. But Ronald Reagan, to his credit, went there and he told his Secret Service men, he said, "You see that little cabin down there?" He said, "Go down there and build a fire in the fireplace." And he said, "You can't come in, you stay outside. I'm going to invite Mr. Gorbachev to meet with me one-on-one, sitting in front of that fire in that cabin." And it made the press really mad, but he wouldn't let them in. And Ronald Reagan went out and sat across from Gorbachev, and he looked him in the eye, and he said, "Mr. Gorbachev, I want you to know we don't want your land. We don't want to hurt your people. We are not planning a first strike. You have been grossly misinformed." And eyeball to eyeball and heart to heart, our president was able to avert what liked to have been a nuclear war on a false report. A multitude rushing after a false report. Mentality of the mob. Go ahead and do it. Find out later whether it was true or not. And we're seeing too much of that in our streets today. But the greatest thing I'd point out to you in a mob mentality and the greatest tragedy that we could point to was when the mob said, "Crucify him, away with him. We'll not have this man reign over us." If you were to look, women, in Matthew chapter 27, I'll flip over to it. Matthew chapter 27, and I pick it up at about verse 20. Listen to this. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude. Did you get it? The multitude. That they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. What do you got here? You got a mob mentality. I often wondered, that crowd that cried, crucify him, do you reckon the crippled man that he healed was in that crowd? Would you imagine that the blind man that he gave his sight back might have been in that crowd? You reckon some of the 5,000 that he fed might have been in that crowd? It's amazing how a multitude can be stirred up. It's amazing how they believe a false report. That's what was happening. The Pharisees, the religious leadership, stirred them up to cry out, crucify him, crucify him, innocent man. They chose Barabbas, the guilty man, over Jesus. You know the story. He was innocent. If there was ever anybody innocent, it was Jesus. The one that did heal the sick and cause the blind to see and raise the dead. Never done anything but good. But they said, crucify him. Missionary, I was reading his report. He said he was over in India. And somebody had made a pretty good movie, and the people over there go more to the old-fashioned movies maybe than here, but he said somebody had made a movie concerning the gospel, concerning Jesus. He said pretty accurate, pretty true to the Bible. And he said he saw it advertised, so he said he went to the auditorium to see if they'd done a good job, a biblical job on the movie. So he's in India, and he goes in. He said there's a pretty good crowd that shows up, and he said, as that movie went and as it come to the time they were crucifying Jesus, he said the audience began to cry out, no, no, he's innocent. You can't do that. Well, that's true. But you see, the devil has stirred up a mob. He had religious leaders involved in that mob, the Pharisees, the scribes. It was a mentality there that he got going. And you know, Christ was crucified, and the devil thought he had the victory. But he was wrong. I won't ask you to turn to it, but 1 Corinthians 2:8, listen to it. Paul is talking about not preaching in the wisdom of man. But in 1 Corinthians 2:8, listen to what he says. He says, talking about the mystery and talking about the hidden wisdom of God. He said, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now, in the word princes, you got leaders, but you got the devil motivating behind that leadership and using men as his own pawns. He says, which none of the princes of this world knew. They didn't know that secret wisdom. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you think Satan would have had Christ crucified if he knew that meant his defeat? He didn't know it. He thought he was going to win. But brother, resurrection morning proved him wrong. Amen. Oh, yeah, it was a mob mentality that said crucify him. Yes, they'd been turned, misled, programmed, if you please, just like we see happening today in our country. But I want to say this about a mob mentality. It's awful, but it reveals itself to be most awful because it's the mob mentality that's going to cause more folks to go to hell than any other. Let me explain. I've watched it as a pastor, watched it as a youth leader before I was a pastor. I've seen a lot of young people wouldn't receive Christ because their buddies wouldn't. That's the mob mentality. I've preached to congregations like this and seen friends that would not come and receive Christ because their friend wouldn't. That's a mob mentality. I remember a man sitting right out there where some of you are sitting. I saw him come several times. I saw him under great conviction, and we were having a bunch of folks saved in that particular service, and I slipped up side of him, and I called him by name. I knew him, and I said, look, this is a good time to get saved. He said, preacher, I want to, but I can't face the boys on the job in the morning. That's mob mentality. That's peer pressure. That's following the herd over the cliff. And too bad, but many are going to wake up in hell just that way. Many of you know who I'm talking about when I say Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a great American evangelist in the early part of the 20th century. God really used him. He didn't have but about a 7th or 8th grade education, but he was very fast, and he got on the ball team, and then he got recognized for the pro teams at that time in the Chicago area. Hey, by the way, you won't believe this, but pro baseball teams in those days did not have gloves to catch the ball. They played barehanded. The catcher behind the plate didn't even have a mask. He didn't even have a chest guard. Most of them had broke bones all over where the tipped ball and others hit them. Billy Sunday himself was one of the fastest base runners and held the record because they could run barefoot back then. Billy was fast. Billy only had 11 men on his team when they won the championship. They only have 2 pitchers. Most teams now got a dozen pitchers on them. Back when men really earned their way, but Billy Sunday was making big money compared to everybody else because he was on a pro team. He said he and the team one night hitting the bars like they did in Chicago. Said we all got tanked up and said we left the bar and went and sat on the curb across the street on State Street and Van Buren. That's still there. You can go see the corner. He said we sat out on the street and he said there were some folks outside the mission house and they were singing the gospel hymns. And he said, I sat there and he said, I put my hands in my face because I recognized the hymns that Mama used to sing to me when I was a kid. And he said, after a while, one of the men stepped out and he said, would you men like to go in the mission house, hear the testimonies of harlots that's been saved, men that's been in the penitentiary? Would you like to hear their testimonies, how they're straight now and what Jesus has done for them? And he said, most of the guys cussed a little bit, and shook their head, and he said, I looked up at him and said, I'll go with you. He said, I stood up and I said to my friends on the baseball team, I said, boys, this is where we part the way. And he said, I went in that mission and I went into the arms of Jesus Christ. Billy went from making big salary to less than $100 a month as he went to serve in the Lord. But he had to leave the crowd. Look what God did with him. Then he begins to tell, you ought to read his story, Billy Sunday. Like Billy Graham was in his peak, he told how, time to time, those baseball players would call for him on their deathbed. He said, I remember bending over Frank Flint, my old catcher, he said, my old buddy. I remember they wanted me to go in and talk to him because he was dying. He said, I went in, bent over old Frank's bed, and I said, Frank, you're not going to make it home safe. The umpire of the universe is calling you out. He said, old Frank said, Bill, that's why I sent for you. But he said, I couldn't get him across before he died. But he said, I remember all the ones that sat on the corner of State Street in Van Buren when I got up and said, fellas, we're parting away. I'm leaving the crowd. I'm going to Jesus. I'm going to accept him. I'm talking to somebody today in this building, in Radio Land. The only reason you're not saved is you've got the mob mentality. You've been conned. You believed a false report. I've had them say to me, preacher, I may be going to hell, but that's where my friends are. No friends in hell. No friends in hell. The Bible says and that crowd in hell will be gnashing on you with their teeth. No friends in hell. That's mob mentality. That's deception. You believe in a false report. I want to say to you, forget about your so-called friends. Forget about the boys on the job. Forget about the students in the classroom and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. Don't let the mob keep you back. It's happening today. It's a lie that's being spread. And it's that mob mentality that's going to take a lot of people to hell.
You don't have to be one of them. You can come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I pray you would this morning. I pray out in Radio Land, wherever you're listening, you'll bow your head and say, Lord, like old Billy Sunday of old, I'm leaving, I'm parting with the crowd, I'm going and I'm coming to you, and you take me. And you can do that in this building this morning. You can leave that seat and come forward and receive Christ. I pray you will. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I remember when I done that. I remember when some folks didn't know what to think of me because I came to Christ. My lifestyle changed and they didn't understand. Do you remember that? I remember that. I got my hand up. I remember my buddies saying, what happened to you? Hard for me to explain, but they knew something happened because something was different. I come to Christ. I turned my back on the old crowd, turned my back on the old ways and on the old things. Are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him save your soul and write your name on the roll book of heaven? He'll do it if you'll give him a chance, if you'll come. Will you stand with me, please? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I'm looking at a world today like a wild herd running over the cliff because they're following leaders that are blind and leading the blind. And Father, so many of them are going to wind up in a devil's hell, not even prepared for them, but lost because they followed the crowd. I pray you'd speak to hearts in this moment here in the invitation time in church. I pray there'd not be one that would follow a crowd wrong, but would split with any crowd to come and claim the Lord Jesus Christ that loved them and died for their sins on the cross, and let him be their Savior. Believe on him and openly receive him. I pray you'd bless the invitation as we sing this morning. Maybe somebody needs to join a church or somebody needs to come for some other reason. But especially, Father, if they've never received Christ. May you bless now in a special way. May your Spirit draw and may hearts say yes to Jesus today. I ask in his name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me right?